All right, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the You Know What Show. We should change it.
The You Know What Show.
How long can we ride the Look Mum thing?
I don't know, because it was quite a fun name when we thought about it. It was like, yeah, the whole Look Mum, No Hands, Look Mum, I'm Hustling.
Every week it's like, I like it, but there's going to be a point where I'm like 50 and I want to do the pod and I'm like,
you don't want to be saying Look Mum.
Our mums are probably long gone by that point, unfortunately.
It'll have to be a new name at some point. Maybe it's the Drew and Sarah Show or something later on.
If we ever crack more than 40 downloads per episode, we'll potentially rename it.
I was going to say, you've got Your Mum's House, but that's more of like a Your Mum kind of like, that's more of like a joke kind of thing rather than a, hey Mum, look at me.
Yeah. Remember, did girls in high school do the Your Mum joke? I know it was pretty big with the dudes at school. I suppose girls probably don't want to make fun of their mums like that.
No, like it wasn't really big in my high school or anything. Not a lot of people did it. That was when the whole That's What She Said, that was pretty popular, but yeah, not the Your Mum.
Your mum's so big, she, I don't know. I can't remember any of the jokes. They were all kind of off the cuff.
It was very like American, or like, wasn't it like Scary Movie or something like that where they did like a whole bunch
it
of
could
Your
be from
stuff.
Something like that. It was around that era. Mm. It was around like Malibu's Most Wanted, Juice Bigelow.
Right.
Just peak blockbuster era.
Peak 2000s. Do I sound very nasally? I feel like I'm listening to myself.
I think we both sound like absolute train wrecks this morning. Yes. So we'll see how this one goes.
Feels like it's been a train wreck of a week, but that's fine. For me, anyway, you've done your thing. You've done
or
your
what's
lives.
Worse, being hit by a train or being in a train wreck?
Whichever one you have a better outcome of surviving would be the best one.
Well, a train wreck could be an explosion depending on the payload of the actual train itself.
Just
getting hit by a train, you might just get a little bit scared. You probably get
like you might lose your limbs or something. I don't think any scenario would be like
anyway. Okay, so we've only seen June 2 this week. I'm just doing a hard segue out of that, that misery conversation.
That train wreck of a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. We did June 2. Very, very, very good. I really enjoyed it. June 1. Actually, if you wanted to know our recap on June 1, check out one of our previous older episodes.
I was going to bring it up. I don't know how many
episodes ago
it was.
I'm pretty sure it was in our podcast room
1.0, yep.
Yeah.
It was episode 29, and we're at, 125 today, I believe?
Are we? No, we're at like 106 or
105,
seven.
Yeah.
No, we're at like 106 or something. Okay, yeah. Anyway, that's a good thumbnail.
No, it's not.
Look at them like creeping up behind there, little heads. Behind the couch. It's like he's popping out like, hello.
Paul and Lady Jessica. Mm-hmm. So that was, maybe a recap on that.
Look at those topics.
What was the date on that? Yeah, the topics were June, La Nina, and astrophotography. Mm-hmm. That's just cop out and same intro. Da-da. Being consistent to a degree.
Yes.
Honestly, don't know how people in like Seattle and stuff live.
Okay. Oh, this is what we're doing, our non-intro intros.
I like those intros better.
Yeah, okay. Go for that. Do they have a date on these? Not really.
Hey. Oh, this is someone wrote a message here 2 years ago. Hey, if you ever need a friend, I'm here and waiting with arms wide open. I will just fly out there and we can go to dinner and bowling. In addition, I never read June or watched. Okay, that was a random comment. If the person still listens to the show, the IDW Wash Show.
2527. Thanks for the comment.
I'm open to friendship. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Always open to some friendships.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was from 7th of December 2021. So, two and a little bit years ago.
So, it's probably going to be 2 years until the number 3 one comes out, potentially.
Potentially. Mm. That was the first. I had known of June. I'm into sci-fi and stuff. I'm not big into sci-fi books, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I wish I was. Like, it's something I want to get into, but it's the matter of actually opening the page and reading the book first and foremost.
Yes.
I like the idea of being a sci-fi reader is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And I had never really watched June or read June. There was a June movie that came out in like the 80s that I tried watching years ago. Mm-hmm. I think I torrented it on like LimeWire or something. And that was a whack version of June. Like, have you seen it before?
I've seen like clips and stuff, but any movie from like back then is like just whack in general.
It was hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah. Or even watching like the original like Star Trek stuff, it's just like whack. Like, because they can't do, you compare the special effects now to like back then, like it's miles apart.
Well, with Star Trek, you can jump into a new episode and kind of figure out what's going on. Mm. With the June movie that came out in the 80s, if you hadn't read the book, there's so much backstory and it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. Mm-hmm. What's the planet they're on? What are they fighting for? What are the stakes? Who are these characters? It kind of just jumps straight in. It's like it was stressful to watch, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really revisited the franchise or the story in book form until the movie came out, and then obviously it was going to be one of these big blockbuster movies.
Yes.
That they would have put the effort into building the characters and making it consumable for new audiences in cinema setting. So that's what we did it 2.5 years ago, and I think we both kind of fell in love with it. We watched it that first time. Since then, I've listened to probably 3/4 of the book.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I haven't listened
well
to it.
Well done for not completing the book. Well done is what you're saying.
It's in my Audible to listen to.
It's a long one. Yeah. I think
it would have to be like 8-10 hours or something, right?
I think it's closer to like 15-20.
Oh, wow.
I started listening to it, and I could probably finish it while I'm working throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to get too far in.
To ruin like the second movie.
Well, some people are the opposite. They want to read the book first and then watch the movie. I just want to be able to consume it, understand the general concept in movie form, in a condensed 2 to 3 hour time slot, and then come back to it and then dive deeper into the story. Because even just before we went live, I was reading about a bunch of things that were left out of the movie, different characters.
Sorry.
You mean my Google history or something?
No, no. While I was like walking Archie, I was just having a few things to be like, oh, the characters or story plots that had to be left out. Yeah.
I like to sort of revisit after the fact
with
a better understanding. So I'm not, I can understand concepts and things when I'm reading books. When it comes to characters or in things like history, I always forget who's done what. And I forget, I can't remember, attach the names to the events.
Yes.
I always struggle to make that connection. There may be something wrong with my, it's like a form of dyslexia in a sense. And I'm like, who's that guy again? Who is he? I kind of need a mind map or a notebook to keep track of people.
Yes.
Especially in a show like, or a movie like this where there's 30-odd characters. So now that I have an understanding and a visual representation of who they are, then reading the book will be 10 times easier for me.
Yeah, 100%. It just, like, for something like that that's so visually amazing and, like, visually stunning, like, it makes sense. I mean, you have, you know, to say this is like miles apart, but like you'd want to read the Harry Potter books before you watch the movies just because it's a little bit more in depth and that kind of thing. But something like this, that's just so like visually heavy, and it's like a banger cast as well. There's like heaps of good actors in it. And even the fact that they split up the first book is like split up into two movies. So part one, part two, which means they could spend more time on character development, more time on the storyline rather than having to rush through or jump ahead.
Yeah. The audiobook's 21 hours.
Oh, okay.
So it's it's 6 hours into 21 hours into 6 hours.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, it's a little different, I think. I think this is harder when it has that science setting and different planets and then
like new names.
I was about to say like different houses and stuff, but that's pretty much all Harry Potter is as well. And then the different spells. So really there's not that much of a difference in terms of learning names of spells or names of different prophets and things in Dune, for example.
Both parents got killed.
So I don't know. You're saying it's easier to read the book first.
For me, yes, but I think
keep track of all the characters.
Yes, but only because there's like I'd have to read like the whole series to like fully understand before I watch the movie. Because like with Harry Potter, like I've read all the books and then you watch the movies because you've had like 6 books to like get used to characters and names and that kind of thing. But if I just read the first Dune, I would have to probably read the other ones for me to actually be able to fully like understand it. So I think in this case, I prefer watching the movie first.
If the book's a 15-20 hour read, don't you get stressed out like 2 hours in being like, wait, this guy's appeared, like, is this the guy that killed the guy or is this the guy that saved the guy?
It just depends like how you absorb a book, right? So like when I'm reading, I get caught into it and it feels like I'm watching a movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I need to,
like
I need
my
to
imagination goes.
I need a touch of face for it to make sense.
Gotcha. Well, that actually makes sense because you're quite analytical and stuff, right? So you probably need that visual prompt and then you're like, okay, that's what I know it looks like. And then you can attach it while you're reading.
As I have a visual, I can assemble a timeline in my head.
Yeah.
If it's just like some random guy with some random name, same as when I'm like reading history books. About, or like we did ancient Egypt a couple of weeks ago, but I'm watching that sort of stuff or listening to a podcast or an audiobook. If I don't have the visual symbol, some sort of symbol to attach to a word or a place, it's so hard for me to connect the dots. Whereas if I watch a documentary, it's
all facts.
It's all facts, but it's a visual attached to the words at the same time.
Makes sense.
So it's just, I don't know, I guess we just learn differently, I suppose.
Yeah. And if anyone is like tossing up between reading the book or watching the movie first, I'd say you could do either or. Like watching the movie without reading the book is still amazing, still easy to follow. I mean, the director was the same director that did the Blade Runner, like the newer Blade Runner, right?
For the Dune movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same director. Which kind of makes, I mean, I'm just going to go on a tangent here, but it kind of makes sense because the newer Blade Runner is just, the visual effects in that is amazing. Like, it's really, really good. Hopefully I'm not wrong. Look at you going to
Wikipedia. What do you mean, hopefully not wrong?
I thought I was reading it. Oh, yeah, so he did. Yeah, he did Blade Runner. Oh, he did Arrival as well.
Sicario.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of them are anywhere near the breadth.
Yeah.
Of Dune. It's people are saying it's a masterpiece once in a, you know, decade or once in a 50-year type of movie.
You could see, like, Blade Runner was, like, the entryway, like, into it. Because even if you see, like, the Blade Runner movie poster and stuff, it's just got, like, this whole big, it's like this whole big world, right? But, like, then when you get into Dune, it's just, it's even on a larger scale. Like, it's, yeah.
There's really more good at stake with Dune. With Blade Runner, it's like, oh, yeah, a sequel, fair enough. Mm-hmm. With Dune, it's the best-selling science fiction novel of all time.
Yes.
So there's, you go onto like a Reddit forums, there's people that live and breathe Dune, and there's so many follow-up books and prequels and things that there's people completely obsessed with it. So if you butcher it, it's a bit different to butchering a Blade Runner where it's not 50 years in the making of building fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the second movie was awesome. Some people are saying better than the first. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Because both have the elements of, like, setting up the story in some way. Like, with Dune 1, like, the first part's, like, heaps of action, heaps of stuff moving around, and, like, the last part of it was a bit slow while they're, I guess, building up towards, like, the second story. And then in the second movie, it kind of is a slow build, like, while they're trying to set up, and, like, the final part, like, makes up for it. Like, the final part's pretty hectic. But even, like, watching movies like this, you know, sometimes you'll watch a, like, a big epic movie, but there might be a one or two actors that are just kind of crappy or don't make sense or just don't fit. Every single actor in this movie, even the new ones, like Austin Butler and stuff, the dude that played Elvis, like, everybody fits so well that you kind of forget that they're these big famous people in a way. Like, they're just very all talented actors. Like, you're not thinking about, oh, Timothée Chalamet or whatever it is. Like, you just, you see these characters that is just done really well. Like, the storyline's awesome. Like, the revamped script is really good. Special effects, action scenes. Like, I'm a big sucker for, like, good fighting scenes as well.
So I think there was less visuals. It was less extravagant compared to the first one.
Yes, because I think the first one was setting up the world. It was setting up the...
There was way more cinematics and the...
Like, wide-angle shots.
Wide-angle shots and the musical score by Hans Zimmer. I think was it better in the first one in saying that potentially the second one was had all that and was so good.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't even pay attention to it because the first one had set the
precedent for it.
Yeah, it was almost like that's kind of what to expect. So now anything that even is at the same level doesn't seem that extravagant because the standard's being set, if that makes sense. So I have to watch it again to see, are the visuals better than the first one or at least equal? And is the music score? I didn't even think about the music the whole time. No. In the first one, I was like paying attention to all the music scores and how insane the score was to match the different scenes and the fight scenes and everything like that. But this one, I didn't even hear any of the music. So maybe it was that good that you get to forget about it, which is kind of what you want in a sense.
Yeah, you
want to
be absorbed in the story and feel like you're just not a part of it, but you're just not even realizing all these finer details. Because for a while when I would watch movies, I would like analyze them. So I'd be like, oh, this is the crescendo, or like, this is like, you know, this is a really good cinematography shot, or, you know, oh, that dialogue in that scene was really good. So if I can forget that.
If the story's so good, if you can forget it. If the acting and the script and the actual story, those three elements that remove the cinematography, the audio, the music score, all that stuff can be forgotten about because the characters and the script and the story are so good.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally, you can't ask for anything more.
No. And like, usually you pull stuff apart because it might be, oh, that doesn't fit or that doesn't work. Or that's kind of like, why would they make that choice? But not a single time that I thought that while watching it.
That's why people are calling it a masterpiece, because there's nothing you can really nitpick. For me, it was a little slow in the first hour and a half.
Yeah.
But again, it's following on straight after the first movie and they're sort of setting the stakes for what's going to happen at the end of number two and then number three as well. But the end of this movie was like, whoa.
Yes.
So I'm glad I hadn't read the books because
that wow factor would have been ruined in a way.
Yeah. You're just waiting for the next milestone or highlight from that story to happen, you know, the next climax to happen.
Yeah. Well, the next book, I think it's called Messiah, right? It's like it's set 12 years in the future. So it'll be kind of, there's like talks about how they're probably going to like bridge that gap between the end movie and that 12 years and like, you know, maybe have more of a like in-depth about the holy war that happens because it kind of just like jumps ahead. So they say that he kind of does that quite a bit, like the writer just jumps ahead because so much that happens, right? You want to include more characters and the timeline. So, yeah, it'll be interesting what the third movie will be about, which would be cool.
Mm. Yeah. I think it does, from reading like synopsis, the third book does get into his kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the third one can go either way. It can go directly in, like literally minutes after the number two had ended.
Yes.
Or it could, you could also see it jumping 10 years ahead and then doing the first 20 minutes as like...
like a recap of what happened.
The filler of what happened. Yeah.
It's the rule of three, right? So I can imagine one and two and then the third one is all like the Timothée Chalamet kind of like storyline, finalizing like the holy war and stuff. And then the following three would be about the kids or something like that. Like it would just...
if they want to do... two trilogies, you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. So I think sometimes I know Hollywood will just do the two or whatever it is, but I think they will try to do like the three and then do like another three like later on down the storyline.
They don't, maybe. It's only worked, well, it hasn't even really worked that well before. How many?
Star Wars?
Yeah, but like what other franchises have done that?
Threes.
Like three and then finalize that as a trilogy on its, a standalone trilogy and then decided to do another trilogy either as a prequel or sequel.
Lord of the Rings. So the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit.
Suppose, yeah.
Maybe. Just thinking.
Okay. It's yeah, that's head. A good enough answer for me.
Yeah.
Maybe you are right.
But I don't know. Maybe. It's just like the, yeah, they like the three to kind of, the trilogy to kind of tie it off. So that's my thoughts on it. Like yeah, potentially what the third one will be. Whether they choose to jump ahead or not is going to be the decider.
Hmm. I think I said when we did the first podcast about June, I was going to read the book and I never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be on the agenda for March.
Mm-hmm.
21 hours, plus there's another like, did I say there was 20 books yesterday?
I think you were saying there's something like 20 books in the whole series.
But it's going to be one of those ones, I'm saying what you're
doing. One of those ones.
When you say it, where a lot of them are trash and just like filler because Star Wars, for example, there's so much just filler books and they're not even written, they're just written by random authors at a certain point.
Yes, yeah, because like they just pass away or whatever it is. Like it's, and some are prequels and some are just going to be jumping like side quests and side stories.
So yeah, 26 novels, but again, they're all, it's like how far do you want to go into the
storyline?
Into the storyline before and after the fact.
I probably want to read the originals by like the original brain that like, you know, thought about it and was creative about it and stuff. I think that would be.
The original brain.
Yeah, the original brain.
Credit, Frank Herbert.
Yes, yeah. So his original ones, because that's like the concept and sort of see where it's going.
I think that's the first three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them skips like.
I think it's like 100 years or like 50 years or something.
Number four skips 3,500 years.
That's right.
Later.
Yeah.
So at least one and two. Number book number one is the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, you're saying is, oh no. So it says here number two, Dream Messiah is the first sequel. Okay, so it's a sequel when he's established as a Messiah.
Exactly, yeah. So they kind of miss the whole like holy war aspect.
Okay.
It jumps
and
ahead.
Then number three is Children of Dune. So
all the kids.
Paul's kids. Mm-hmm. And then after that it jumps. So I think at least one, two, and three would be beneficial to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest somewhere down the line, but not as a huge priority.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy saying here in this article, that the book was published in 1965. So what's that? 60 years ago? Almost 60 years?
It'd be seven. No, because we're in 25 now.
Yeah, 60 plus 60 is 20.
Yeah.
120.
120.
Yeah. No, 60 years.
Oh, yeah. I can't math.
Yeah. We've learned this before. I mean, I jumped ahead 20 episodes earlier in this pod,
yes.
So I can't count either.
Mm-hmm.
But more or less 60 years. So it was published in 1965 by an automotive manuals publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So like someone that makes car manuals.
I know. It's pretty, like, when you think about it.
After 20 mainstream publishers rejected the story. So, and then it became the best-selling novel of all time. So you know how you see those infographics or memes and it's like, I don't know, Walt Disney started his business at like 60 years old or this person that ever is a household name didn't get their start until they were 70. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh.
Like it can happen.
It can happen. You just got to be patient and just grind it out.
Yes.
Do what you want to do, stack skills, just don't stop essentially, don't give up.
Because
this is another example of it. Like 20 publishers rejecting it,
mm-hmm.
and then it got published by an automotive manuals publisher.
I know.
To then become the biggest selling sci-fi book of all time.
Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, that would have probably skyrocketed that company like crazy, but maybe as a friend.
They probably would have, as soon as it became known that it's going to sell a bunch, they would have sold the licensing rights or some to a bigger publisher. But that could be, there's probably some interesting podcasts that would dive into that whole history, the publishing side of things for like June, for example.
100% there would be, because there would have to be, obviously there would be like rejection letters and all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming there would have been some sort of like radio interviews when he became popular, or like maybe there's a biography on the author as well, which might be interesting. Like, what was his life like up until that point?
I suppose, yeah, we got, I don't know if we still have it. The, was it Brian Wilson that writes the ones about, Brian Wilson, author. He does a bunch of biographies like that. Not Brian Wilson. He wrote the Steve Jobs. I think he wrote Steve Jobs one, and he wrote the one about Spielberg.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that guy is, but I know who you're talking about. Spielberg biography? Brography?
Brography? Is it Spielberg or... Hang on.
Steve Jobs biography?
Hang on. I'm getting hella confused. We got the book somewhere. The big, thick, white book.
Oh, that's the George Lucas one.
Oh, George Lucas, sorry. George Lucas biography. Brian J. Jones. So I don't know where I got Wilson from. Brian J. Jones. I've gone off topic a little bit. But he's a famous biographer. He's done one for, I had the Jim Henson one. That's what I was trying to refer to. Is it just me, or do I look a little bit like Jim Henson?
Tiny bit.
I had this book. I don't know what, I think I might have sold it on eBay.
Mm-hmm. But the George Lucas one we have.
Is it just, do I look like?
A little bit. It's a similar nose.
Maybe I grab my beard out.
Yeah. And you just got to grow your hair and grow your beard.
Anyway, I'm not really a puppeteer type of guy, but that guy does a bunch of biographies. So I could imagine that could be a good tale to write.
Yeah,
about
definitely.
Frank Herbert. Sorry, bringing it back.
Yes.
But there's probably, so much documentation of interviews and rejection letters and all that sort of stuff. And then they're the kind of documentaries that I like, is like the making of.
Yes. But like also that it got to that point, like what was it like getting rejected 20 times, but like still persevering and be like, no, this is a great book. I want to get it published. Like how many people did he have in his corner? Like it's like curious. Like what else was he doing? Did he have like another job, or was he just like a full-time writer? I mean, I'm sure we can go on Wikipedia and it's going to tell us like he's...
No, he died like 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So not a lot to dive into.
Yeah.
Frank Herbert. Biography, documentary? There probably is one. There'd have to be one.
Yeah.
Dreamer of June. The biography of Frank Herbert.
By Brian Herbert, so by the kids. Okay.
You're always going to paint your dad in a nice light though, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to be a little bit
biased. Unless it was abusive, of course.
Yeah. if there's a documentary, that'd be interesting. I'm definitely on YouTube.
The YouTube ones.
Okay.
Women Discuss June.
Panel. Scholars Dive. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's a there's another Dune movie. Oh, that's right. There's like two different ones.
Okay.
I think there's one in 1971. There's like one in Russian or something.
Okay. Jodorowsky.
But
it's sci-fi, right? Like it's...
Or German, maybe.
It can just go across so many different countries and aspects and things like that, because it's science fiction. It can go anywhere.
Or it's a tale of... It's the hero's journey tale.
Yeah. Yeah,
losing a father or some sort of, it's Batman. It's Luke Skywalker. You're losing your father, finding some sort of guide or guru to basically help you uncover the mysteries about yourself or your history, help you tap into your skills, and then help you overcome some hurdle to then become who you're supposed to be, more or less. Classic. It's Joseph Campbell 101. It's just, hero's journey.
Mm-hmm. Add in like a prophecy into the mix, which always goes down well in like sci-fi or fantasy or whatever it is.
Well, that's why it can apply to different cultures and stuff, because
there's
a battle for different a battle for lands. Mm-hmm. There's a cultural battle, power battle.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's kind of fighting to find their place, find out who they are, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like it. I think I like it better than Star Wars. Star Wars is getting a bit too goofy, too many like weird aliens and things. Like it's fun. It's for kids. This is not, can be for kids, but it's more of a intellectual kind of story. Not by much, but slightly.
It's just more like Star Wars is definitely more saturated. 100%. So there's just a little bit more, but I see what you mean. Like it's, Star Wars is sci-fi, but it's more like fantasy in a way.
It's space opera.
Whereas like Dune is like legit sci-fi. Like they've got ships and battles and like whole massive worlds and Yeah, it just seems a little bit more adulty.
It doesn't go too wild with the robots and random creatures and things.
Yeah.
Which is fun. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But something a bit more sophisticated is like Dune.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Highly recommended. We did bougie out and got a fancier seats, recliner ones. So I would recommend
it. Sarah spent half of the rental budget on reclining seats. I didn't even recline on once, to be honest. So, yeah.
You did lean back a little bit, though, didn't you?
I'll just go the budget nosebleed seats next time.
But it's one of those you have to watch it in the cinemas, 100%. If you can, do it. You get it's just better on the bigger screen.
It's a must watch for cinemas, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So what else? We don't get to the cinemas that much, and based on the amount of money that we spent yesterday, it's not something we can do that frequently, quite honest. So let's have a look at if there's anything else big blockbuster worthy coming out of the cinemas. Now, I'm going to go through some lists here.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you like. You like reading them all. Let's just only focus on the ones that, without question,
mm-hmm.
cinema worthy, for us at least.
Yes, and we've tossed that when we were like, oh, should we go to the movies? But it has to be something that's kind of epic. Like, would it be better suited on the movie screen, or would you be fussed about seeing it on your TV at home? So, yeah, it's always that kind of call to make. So Dune's definitely one of those ones to watch on the big screen.
So I'm just going to scroll through here.
No.
Rom-coms and, like, dramas, I need to see something dramatic. I mean, there's Mad Max. I wasn't that big into Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually, this actor here,
Anya
Taylor-Joy, is actually mm-hmm. in Dune briefly. Yep.
Mad Max could be potentially on the big screen just because
Not for me, no. It's a hard no.
Fair enough.
Yes.
While we're watching Dune, we saw the trailer for the new Planet of the Apes.
Did we?
I think you're on your phone.
I was playing on Discord.
But yeah.
They're fun, but they're not cinema. It's not something you're going to look back on 10 years and be like, oh, remember we went to the movies to see
Planet of the Apes?
It's mm-hmm. like, oh, remember that nice date night we have mm-hmm. watching on at home? That's the vibe
I get.
But
there's like so many of them now, the Planet of the Apes movies. There's heaps. Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, probably not. Twisters? Is that a Twister remake? I don't mind Twister. I wouldn't watch it at the movies, though. Deadpool, it's a no. Potentially Alien.
Never a big fan of the aliens.
Well, you don't like spooky.
Yeah.
Joker for sure. Joker. A second ago, I said no drama, but Joker. Joker won.
Because you really
smash it.
Yeah.
Like, incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd go see Joker.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's the Harlequin. Plays Harlequin.
That's up there. That's October 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Gladiator 2.
I think that could be potential epic. It's really to say, despite Ridley Scott being 86, he's going to be making another one.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Russell Crowe, Pedro Pascal, one of your faves. Denzel Washington.
No, Russell Crowe's not going to be in it, so.
Oh.
They trades in Russell Crowe for another outstanding ensemble. So that could be really, really decent. Wicked.
What's Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohirrim?
Rohirrim?
After 20 years, December has always felt synonymous with Lord of the Rings, and December 24 is about to bring all the emotions back for a brand new animated movie. No thanks. Mufasa, Lion King?
Nah.
No. Nosferatu is what, a vampire movie?
Yeah.
Nah.
Not King of Kindness.
There's not a lot of bangers coming out this year.
Mickey 7, is that Robert Pattinson? What's that one?
No. If you haven't heard of it, it ain't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Can you write blockbusters, maybe?
2024 upcoming blockbusters.
Blockbuster movies.
Because that's all we can really
afford to, justify watching, I guess you could say. Mean Girls, Argyle, Madam. No. These are just like movies that are coming out.
June 2. Oh, we've seen that. That's right.
Oh, Roadhouse could be cool.
No.
No?
Ghostbusters, hard no. All of these, I'm willing to wait 2 months for it to come out on Netflix.
Yeah, fair enough. What about Garfield, your favorite?
Hey, you're just being silly now.
Hey, Bad Boys?
No. If it's the fourth movie in a franchise that's an average movie,
mm-hmm.
I'm not paying $30 to go.
Fair enough.
Like, what's this Despicable Me for? Not going.
Waterlands?
You're being silly now.
Well, Borderlands is a live action, isn't it?
I haven't played the game.
Okay, fair enough.
Joker's up there, 100%. Mm-hmm.
I think Gladiator could be one.
Joker, Gladiator. That might be it for the whole year, mm-hmm. quite frankly. Okay. Which means I might go back and watch Dune 2 a second time.
Oh.
I think watch the first one and watch them back to back, and then you get it out of your system a little bit.
I'd be down for that. I think I'd want to see it a second time.
I was going to go on a day that you're at work.
Oh, go by yourself. Have a solo date day. Have a solid date day. You deserve it.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Thanks, guys, so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoy June and the June conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to commit to all 21 hours.
Finish them.
It might take me a while, but mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good listen.
Yeah. So you hear it now before the third one comes out. Drew's going to finish the book.
Yes. So that'll be episode 200 something.
Yes.
By that stage, I could probably ship out 5 minutes a day at the very least.
I think so.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. Love you. Bye.
Bye.